Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Kirk Crosby's on the road. We'll get to him later in the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the broadcast for March 17th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our one of two, and our goal is incredibly simple: to protect life, liberty, and property, and to protect and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We believe the checks and balances put in place by our founders are absolutely brilliant and the solution to the problems we face. We don't need a revolution, ladies and gentlemen, but we do need a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome. Normally, I do a recap of the previous day's broadcast. I'm going to put that on hold for the second hour because we got a couple of rock star guests, if you will, talking about a topic that's very, very difficult for folks to deal with. And the problem is people mean well on both sides of this debate. And what's strange about this battle is that both sides are constitutionalists. Both sides are conservatives. We're not even discussing the liberal side of things at this point. But there's a breakdown between people. And I was asked, hey, Sam, can you help ferret this thing out? Can you bring common sense to the table on this thing? And I said, you know what? I'll do my best. And that's how it all started. Now, it's an interesting discussion because a lot of people have thrown very harsh words around, very harsh allegations around. And one of the things that Liberty Roundtable is best known for is rejecting that narrative. You know what? We don't do that. It doesn't help. Okay? Attacking one's person and or family isn't the issue here. We need to realize that good people mean well, and sometimes people don't have possessions of all the facts. And I think that's kind of where the discussion starts. We've got two people on the line right now. First one is Mike Noel. He's a House legislator from the state of Utah, Republican at Kanab. Hi, Mike.
How you doing, Sam?
Excellent, my friend. We've also got Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org on the radio. Hi, Lowell.
Good morning, Sam.
We're going to be talking about a bill in Utah, which is critical. It's a land bill. Mike's bill, it's HB 276. And as far as I understand, it would establish a division of land management within the current Utah Department of Natural Resources. Now, here's the thing. We're trying to get lands back and get the feds kicked out of the picture. I think we can all agree that that needs to happen yesterday. We need to get the feds out of the land business. There's no constitutional provision for them to be there. And we got to start somewhere, but there's got to be some way if we're going to deal with the land for some kind of organization to handle it. But the debate starts there. Now, let's just quickly get an update on the bill, Mike, before we even get into the details. The bill has passed the Utah House and Senate, correct?
That's correct.
And they're waiting on the governor to sign or provide his signature. The battle is people are pushing yes, have it signed immediately, and no, don't have it signed, right?
Well, I don't know that I don't know who is saying have it signed immediately. I think it's in the queue to have it signed. I got a call from Cody Stewart from the governor's office yesterday, and he asked me what's going on, and basically, do I want it signed? And I says, yeah. He says, well, we just want to make sure you did because the governor's going to sign it. I said, I've had general legislative research and general counsel review the wording in it. It says absolutely does not take away the supreme authority of the Sheriff's Association in their respective counties. And the response from Mr. Stewart was our general counsel, which is a gal by the name of J.C. Skinner, said we've got the same analysis. So the bill will be signed. However, Lowell needs to know this, and others need to know this. That bill is a placeholder for when, hopefully when, we take over the public lands in Utah, when we win our lawsuit to return these lands to the state of Utah like they should have been when we became a state. And that will be a placeholder till that time. So nothing in that bill takes effect. It says it right in the bill until at least 100,000 acres are transferred. And that comports with the Constitution of the state of Utah, which says when lands are given to the state, they will be disposed of. Well, at this point in time, that's not what the public has told me, nor is it what the legislature has said. We will retain these lands. Some of the land may be disposed of, but certainly not all of the land would be disposed of. and that's outlined in the bill. So simply a placeholder to put in place when we, when the agencies, the federal land management agencies, leave this state, that we'll have some mechanism to go in and manage these lands. Some people think we don't need to do that, but there's thousands and thousands of permits out there that have been granted. There's rights of ways, there's grazing permits, there's oil and gas leases. We have to put that into our ability to manage those lands. So that's what the bill does. It's to set it out and tell the public how we assume we're going to manage these. That's been one of the greatest criticisms of the Transfer of Public Lands Bill, is we can't do it. We're not capable as a state to do that. So that's what it's about.
All right, just for the national listeners, Utah is one of the states that really has the lead on getting the federal government out of the land business, off the land. Constitutionally, they have very limited reasons they could even own land. The idea is that on the equal footing clauses, you know what? The western states shouldn't be schnookered out of their land, and we expect it back. And that's what the battle is, and how do you get them transferred back? How do you handle that debate? How do you be prepared for it? How do you reject the criticism that might come along with it if you don't have some kind of mechanism to manage or deal with the land? And how do you avoid all the debates downstream from that discussion of kicking the feds out that tend to divide people? And I think that's kind of where the discussion needs to start. I do believe a fair hand in the media is what's needed at this point. And I think the sad part is we didn't discuss this, I don't know, 6 months ago before the bill entered the hopper, much less before it already passed the House and the Senate, and now we're waiting for a governor's signature. I wish we would have jumped on this a lot earlier. Nevertheless, we are where we are. Lowell, let's start there. We can agree that the lands, we need to get the federal government out of the land business, right?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Now, the idea is then, if we're going to get the feds out of the land business, one of the things that we're going to need to do is have some kind of a management agency to do that. It'll be a division of land management of the DLM instead of the BLM. Some would say, you know what, that's good and bad. It's good. We got to have something to maintain it. It's bad because, on one hand, it just creates another government agency, right, Lowell?
That's right, Sam. We're worried that the BLM will be just replaced by the DLM and yet harbor the same and promulgate the same set of rules and so forth for the land as what was done by the BLM, and so many people, ranchers and otherwise, are unfortunately, sadly acquainted with the authority, the power that the BLM has wielded, forcing ranchers off of range, refusing to issue permits, timber sales being stuck in court, in litigation, by injunctions from judges saying, okay, you've bought the timber, but you can't go in and cut it, you can't harvest it. I mean, there's numerous examples of the federal government agencies refusing to allow the people use the land to harvest its resources and to use it recreationally and so many other good things that really ought to be done as wise stewards of our land that we ought to be able to do.
Now, one of the biggest worries that I have, Mike, and we'll get to this and have you respond and Lowell respond, and we'll get into this in detail. If you're not very careful, what you end up with is a BLM and a DLM. Oftentimes, we crank up one government agency in hopes that we can ratchet something down. I'll use taxes as a great example. Hey, we're going to have this new tax that's going to get rid of these other taxes, and what we end up with is they give us the new tax, but they don't get rid of the other taxes, and we end up with both. Is that a fair concern, Mike?
No, not at all, because when you're saying we end up with both, there's nothing in this bill that would allow the state to move forward. You know, I say 100,000 acres, but once that transfer starts, if there's 100,000 acres transferred, you would be into a wholesale transfer of these lands to the state of Utah. At that point in time, as I said, there's a lot of people out there that have interest in the public lands. You mentioned one specifically. It's the ranchers. One of their greatest concerns is those permits and the grazing rights that were granted under Taylor grazing that they've held in their family, some for over 100 years since before even Taylor grazing. Bundys are one of them, that they would be lost. It's kind of like they've come to me and they've said, well, you deal with the devil that you know. And so you're saying, well, the devil that you know is the BLM, and the devil you don't know, what is that about? Are we going to be able to keep our grazing? Are we going to have the same permit fees that we pay? So there's a concern from them. There's a concern from the oil and gas people. We've gone out and bought these permits, or these oil and gas leases. We pay money every year to hold these leases. Are we going to lose those? So this is part of the reason for the bill. Now, you said that we wish we'd have known more about this bill. I started this bill 2 years ago. We started in the framework. We talked about it during legislative session.
All right, hold on, Mike. We got a quick break. That's a hard break. I don't control it. Mike Noel with us, ladies and gentlemen, state legislator in the House of Representatives in Utah from Kanab. Lowell Nelson with us, campaignforliberty.org. We're talking about this bill, HB 276. It's at the governor's desk for his signature. Well, can we get land back? Can we manage it right? The battle's on. How can we come together is the question. Liberty Roundtable Live.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, legislator Mike Noel from Utah, House of Representatives on the line. We're talking about his bill, HB 276. How do we transfer the lands back to the state of Utah and have a mechanism to deal with them? How does that all break down? I think Mike's made a valiant effort to get that done. Mike's been working on this bill for 2 years. But I would defend my statement a little bit, Mike, and say I'm sure the legislative bodies and have worked on it, and you've worked on it, and you feel like to some degree maybe that you've worked on it to where everybody knows about it. But, man, when there's literally 100 – how many bills come through the Utah legislature every year, Lowell?
Well, I think there's probably about 1,000, probably more than 1,000, and I think roughly 500 of them get approved by both houses.
All right, so if we're talking about 1,000 bills for 2 years, you're talking about a couple of 1,000 bills. How many see the light of day? So the average American may not be near as caught up and or involved in some of this stuff as we would hope, Mike.
I understand that, but if you're dealing with this particular public lands issue, all these bills are heard in one committee. They're heard in the Natural Resource Committee. I've been on that committee for 14 years. We had a lot of public involved with that. We had a lot of public testimony. We've been working closely with all the counties, Utah Association of Counties. I work closely with the Sheriff's Association, with the county commissioner. So it's not like it's out there. You do have to give some deference to your county commissioners and people that are elected to represent you. We do have a representative form of government, so not every single person. Everyone certainly has the right to listen in on these are all broadcast on the internet. You can hear everything. If there's a bill up, you can look at it. You can tell in about 2 minutes what the bill's about. So yeah, there's 500 bills. Some of them are one word bills. Some of them don't deal with anything you're interested in. So there is a mechanism to get this out to people. And the problem I have, I guess, is what how this came about is on your one another radio station with Kate Daly and a guy by the name of Ben McClintock, who printed just some outrageous, provocative statements on his website defending Utah. And apparently this is the new go-to spot for people. I don't know this guy. I don't know anything about him. The first I heard about him was like 4 days ago. So I have no idea who he is or what he's about. But I know a very similar movement happened like this in Colorado, and it was called the Blueprint. And in a matter of a year, they had completely switched and turned the Colorado State Legislature and the governor around. And it's an effort, and I want to know who's involved. Are there people behind the scenes, like with Ken Ivory? He's got George Soros, the group that filed a 140-page document against him. You've got McClintock going into his district holding public meetings and talking against him. He's a good man. He's a solid man. He's one that defends the Constitution and knows it, yet you got people attacking him. Who are these people? They're not transparent. They don't have any kind of a pack. So who are they, and who are they really defending the rights of people in Utah? I don't know. There's a process. It's representative government, and I am a representative. So yeah, I do the job. I do my job. It's a part-time job. I run a cattle ranch and farm. And so I do my job, but that is the public's responsibility. But we've got to have some controls on that. We've got to people can't just come out and say we're going to run it this way. So I'm glad to talk to you, Sam. But the attacks and everything are particularly hurtful to me because of all the effort I put into this, even before I became a legislator, trying to get these lands back.
And you've been at working on getting lands back for a long time. You're well known in the state legislature. Now, your bill is about 871 lines long, right?
That's right.
It's a pretty big bill.
And as I mentioned, as I said this in each of my committee hearings, it passed all the committees pretty much with a unanimous vote. There was a couple of Democrats, Joel Briscoe and Brian King, that voted against it. But even the Democrats said, hey, if we're going to take over these lands, we ought to have some type of a blueprint to say how we're going to manage them. We ought to assure the public that we're not going to sell off all these lands, that there will be some of them sold, there will be exchanges, that we're going to honor those permits for the ranchers and farmers and individuals that have rights. I mean, you know the patchwork of land down here in my seven-county area. You've got private land interspersed with state land, interspersed with public land. So there's lots of rights-of-ways that people need that have been in place. Well, if we transfer these lands, those have to be protected, or it's going to be a major, major problem to deal with this. It's a big.
Now, I do want to step back and say, you know what? The last 100-plus years has created the problems we face, ladies and gentlemen, and no matter how much we wish it to be, we're not going to resolve this overnight. This is a very difficult thing to unwind. Some of the wrongful transactions, like the federal government suggesting they should have control of the lands in the first place, that's a big problem. You know, education ties up a bunch of land, which is another whole discussion. And what happens is you get downstream from that and you pretty much start getting everybody to divide because they're interested in their own viewpoints. Some say, well, the land needs to be Utah's, but it needs to stay public land. Others say, well, no, it needs to be sold off and be private. And then everybody starts to divide. I think we need to focus on a couple of things. One, let's get the feds out of it first. And two, let's find a way to do that, but not cross lines that later can come back to bite us. And I think that's really important to understand. And a lot of people are concerned, Mike, about Agenda 21. And I guess much of your bill reflects the current lands management laws, the federal laws, right?
Well, it does, because when you say reflects the laws, there's a difference in management. I mean, the management scenario for the federal government was supposed to be the counties deferring to state and local plans. If you go back and read FLTMA, it was supposed to defer to the greatest extent to county plans, to local plans, to state plans. And that didn't, that quit happening back in the 80s, when the Clinton administration took over. They just totally revamped what was going on in the Bureau of Land Management. And that's what's got us. I mean, I agree with you. The lands should have changed at statehood. They should have continued to be transferred. It should have, the land law should have taken place. But like you say, Sam, that's back in 1976. We've got to move forward now and reverse this thing. And that's what the Public Lands Transfer Act does. But no, it doesn't. It does have laws. It does have regulations. But because again, there is a tremendous amount of permitting, and there's people that put their livelihoods into permits, into rights of ways. You mentioned the state trust lands. Yeah, that's how it was at statehood. All the western states acquired 4 sections for the benefit of the children. And the trust lands has been a good example of how we've been able to gather now $2 billion into a fund for the school children of Utah. Some of it has been sold off. Some of it has been leased off. Some of it has been oil and gas developed. So if someone's got a better plan, that's what the legislative process is about. I mean, people have weighed in on this bill. The Sutherland Institute, very conservative think tank, they supported the bill. I made changes.
And in all fairness, the Utah Sheriff's Association supports the bill also. Now, Lowell, let's give you a chance to respond, though. I maintain that we all want to get the land back. We want to get the feds out. A lot of these other battles should be, in my opinion, argued at a little bit later day. The problem is a lot of federal law already manipulates what's done. And some of the problems with bills we see today is when we look at them, hey, they go along with some federal guidelines, because otherwise you got to change state law, or you got to do this, or you got to do that. And it's almost like too big of a bite to handle. Lowell?
Yeah, it is. In fact, most people begin with a mistaken premise that the feds own the land or manage the land and control the land, when in reality, only that land which is ceded to the federal government by state legislature for a specific purpose, such as a dockyard, an arsenal, a mine, a magazine, as those other things outlined in the Constitution, that is really the only way that a federal government can control or own land. And of course, we all agree that that just hasn't happened here in the western states. The majority of our lands in the western states have just been left under the control of the federal government for decades and decades. And I think we're all in agreement that's wrong, and the states need the land back. But we fail to realize that it is the state that's sovereign. The state's sovereignty is undermined by this notion that the feds can control the land.
All right, hold on, Lowell. Mike, stay right there. Lowell Nelson with us, Campaign for Liberty. Mike Noel, state legislator in Utah, back in seconds. Hang tight, y'all. We'll talk about it. Bill 276.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. Lowell Nelson with us, campaignforliberty.org. Also, Mike Noel with us, Utah legislator, House of Representatives. We're talking about HB 276, a bill to create a department to handle the land transfer from the federal government to Utah. We all agree that needs to get done. The feds need to get out of it. The sovereignty of Utah is really the key issue here, you were saying, Lowell?
That's right, Sam. If we really believe that Utah is sovereign, then our legislation would reflect that that fact. This bill is, and I want to make very clear, Mike, that I'm a big fan of taking the land back, and I applaud and appreciate all the efforts that you have made over the years to accomplish that. I'm not one that is attacking you, and I'm not attacking the concept of transferring the lands back to the states. The biggest problem I have with this bill, we'll get to in a minute, relates to the authority of the sheriff. But I just want you at the outset to know that I am not attacking this concept. I'm not attacking you, and I do appreciate your service in the legislature for the citizens of the state of Utah. I think it's fantastic. I grew up on a ranch in Idaho. I'm well acquainted with grazing permits. My dad was a lumberjack, and so I'm well acquainted with the damage that has been done by the federal government by their refusal to allow timber sales, for their refusal to issue permits. My family keenly felt the cutback in grazing permits by the BLM in the 1970s and 80s. Just as you have probably felt that here in the state of Utah, probably during that same frame of time, that period of time.
Now, Mike is saying, Lowell, that you know what? The bill doesn't even take effect till 100,000 acres is transferred, where the federal government's completely out of the mix. And so it's really a non-starter discussion until that happens. That's one, and that's a comforting thing. Is that accurate according to your review of the bill as well?
Yes, 100,000 acres. It's plainly written right there in the bill. So basically, this is a placeholder, just like Mike said, absolutely right. Doesn't really kick into effect until 100,000 acres of that land comes back. And my only problem with that is that, you know, I don't think we should wait. I think that, that's our land, and that we ought to set into place, as Mike has attempted to do, a mechanism to transfer the lands back in such a way that we don't abrogate the rights of the ranchers and the oil and gas lessees and so forth. But it's not this, and it's not the federal land. It's state land, and it's the public land, and we ought to act as such. So when we're ready, we just take the land back. In other words, and I'm not saying we're ready at this point, but once we're ready, we simply take the lands back and begin managing them appropriately. We don't wait for the feds to give them back to release the title. We don't wait for lawsuits in federal court. We don't go to that expense. We simply, when we're ready, we take the land back. It's our land.
Okay, so I've got a question on that, Lowell. And you know, this has been probably the part of it that I get confused with. And I'm with you. I understand. I mean, I've got people down here that have lost their grazing privileges, that have lost their ability to have timber. They've lost the Kaibab, 300 jobs gone. So these are my people that I've represented for 14 years. Started out with 8 counties. I have 7 now when I went to San Juan. But how do you do that? People say that we need to take the land back, and that's exactly what we're
the extremity to do. Or the extreme example of that would be Ammon Bundy, right, Mike?
Is that through force, or how do we do that? How do we do? Do we get our the governor to call out the National Guard and kick the BLM people? I mean, the BLM people in my area, they're in the Bishopric. They are people in our community here. They're good, solid people. Do we throw them out? Well, how do we do that? I'd like to know, because I thought we were a land, a nation of laws, and you say the land belongs to Utah. Well, at statehood, it actually did belong to the federal government, and they were disposing of the land like they should have, but they stopped that in 1976. So they were disposing of it just like they did in all the lands east of the Mississippi River, and they stopped. So how do we do that? Just tell me that. And if we've got a different plan that's different than what we're trying to do with our lawsuit, taking it as a state sovereign, we have equal foot. We have on a state on the same basis as the federal government. When we go straight to the Supreme Court, is there another way to do that, Lowell, without bloodshed, without having troops in here, federal troops? What do? We've had that happen before in Utah, as you know.
Right, yeah, we don't do it by force, but it becomes then the purview of the county commission. The counties are the ones, and the commissioners are elected by the people in the counties. They're the ones with authority for the land within their county jurisdiction.
And where do they get that authority from?
Well, they get it from the people who live and reside in those counties.
Where is that authority in our state constitution granted to the county commissioners? Where is that? That's granted through the state legislature. They are municipalities. They are subdivisions of the state, and it's granted through the legislature. That's our own state constitution. So it has to start in the legislature. Because the counties exist because of the authority of the state legislature and our state constitution. They are municipalities, so they are elected, you're right. But all the disposition and all those things that happen go through the legislature. That's what we do every year. So that's a misconception. I recognize the county commissioners in their own counties have purview, but they're overseen by the state legislature. That's how it works.
In other words, there is a check and balance that has to happen here. And one of the things that I find fascinating about this whole discussion when it comes to land, I don't think that we bring out the National Guard and turn this thing violent or whatever. My question, though, is the federal government really ready to ratchet up their false control of the land to violent steps? Or are they willing to, you know what, we can send their people home with the state governor in conjunction with county sheriffs, in conjunction with county commissions, in conjunction with the state legislature. If we can have somewhat of a meeting of the minds, though, at some point the federal government needs to blink, and that's kind of where we are, and it doesn't need to go to violence unless the federal government plans to be violent.
Yeah, Sam, I've had county commissioners say, and I've had sheriffs tell me, hey, we're ready to go in and arrest federal law enforcement people that are taking our laws in their hand. We're ready to do it, but do we have backing from the Attorney General? At this point, we're not sure that we do have backing from the Attorney General. We're not sure that we're telling county sheriffs to go in with the blue on blue and arrest BLM law enforcement or BLM people that are. Now, Marty said that if they continue to kick people off the lands, that he will deputize everybody. That's Marty Glee from Paiute County, every person in the county. That's gone nationwide. He said that in my rural caucus here a few weeks ago. And I admire Marty, but he supports me, and he supports this bill. He supports exactly what we're doing. He sent a post to me last night and said, I support you. And those other yahoos, they're not the ones I support, because I've got a 14-year record of working with him. So let's don't just throw everything out because you guys have picked out one part of this bill that you think is the red herring of some kind, like your friend McClintock says. He says, oh, this is just a bait and switch. This is a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Okay, hold on, Mike. Let's be very careful. I'm not jettisoning Ben as a friend, but I'm also not going to take responsibility for anything that somebody else says. I'm responsible for what I say and what I do. Right. So is Lowell, and so are you, and so is Ben.
Yeah.
All okay, right. So I'm not involved in any of that. I'm bringing the most fair discussion to the table to the public on this you've had so far.
Good job. I'll back off. You can see it's very, very raw right now. I was reading his statement this morning.
And that's why I said that we can't unwind this in a day, people. Let's start there. We've got good people that are constitutionalists doing their best. Part of the problem is unwinding all these federal intrusions. Part of the problem is understanding the balance, the checks and balances that are supposed to be there, and use them wisely. And I'll give you a great example. Let's go right to the sheriff's issue. On one hand, 28 sheriffs for the state of Utah under the Utah Sheriff's Association supports this bill. The problem that I have with it, though, is you know what? It gives a very big hole you can drive a truck through. And now I'm speaking for myself as the vice president of operations of the Constitutional Sheriff and Peace Officers Association. So I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. And the problem is that, hey, the state gets a law enforcement official that can be armed to the teeth. You get a federal government official armed to the teeth with so-called supposed law enforcement authority too. And now the sheriff's sitting there going, what? And certainly this bill gives a law enforcement authority to a state representative that at some point may circumvent on certain lands the sheriff's authority. Is that true?
I totally disagree with that. And I've asked legislative research and general counsel for an opinion. I'm going to get that opinion. As I said on the radio program yesterday, there is
nothing to do with my radio programs, though,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Let's be clear. Nothing to do with my programming. All right. Okay. So when we get back, though, we'll talk about it.
Right now, would you agree that you have wildlife resources people in the state of Utah that work in these different counties that enforce a section of the code, and that's what that says in the bill, Title 23, that deal with law enforcement?
Yes, we'll pause. We'll agree that is happening. We don't think it should happen, and we'll tell you why in seconds.
Okay.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
We can all agree we need cool heads to prevail. This issue's hot, and we need less allegations and more solutions. And so this discussion relates to the office of sheriff, in my personal opinion, and that's part of the issue here. And I think that there's a solution, by the way, and we'll get to that in just a second. Mike Noel with us, Utah State Legislator, House of Representatives from Kanab, Utah. You got Lowell Nelson with us, campaignforliberty.org on the radio as well. We're discussing this Bill 276. The goal is to get lands back from the feds. We all agree with that. But how and who and what and where? And, man, are we going to create a behemoth at the state level as bad as the federal level? And we pray the answer is no. And the checks and balances that our founders put in place is one of the biggest keys. And when you have a sheriff in a given county, he's really the top law enforcement authority in that county. Now, somebody would say, well, Sam, there's a state override on that. Yeah, there's very limited state override and control of that. But when does a check and a balance get manipulated? When do we start to blur the lines of the judiciary with the executive, with the legislative, to where we have a problem? And that's what I see here. This person that has law enforcement authority works for the state, not the sheriff. So now let's say you take a piece of land in a given sheriff's county. Now you've got two authorities that conflict. And they conflict because if they disagree, pardon the phrase, I don't dare bring up Trump, but I'm not in the presidential sense. I'm saying who trumps who? And the state guy is going to say, I trump you every time, sheriff. I work for the state, for crying out loud. And that's the exact problem with the federal government doing that to the states. I trump you, we're the feds. Back off. And what we really need to see, in my opinion, is to do this properly where the state representative can receive a commission, if you will, a granted authority from the county sheriff. And if he obeys and does what he's supposed to, and he brings the proper documentation to the sheriff and coordinates with the sheriff properly, then the sheriff can grant him the ability to do things, deputize, if you will, and there can be authority. But that way, the sheriff is in charge. That way, there is a check and balance. That way, there is coordination between the state and the county. But if we have the state guy work for himself, then he kind of thinks he's, well, pardon the phrase, in a pissing match with the sheriff, and that creates nothing but problems. And so the sheriffs have seen this work this way for so long that they say, it's okay, we've seen it. There's a lot of good guys that coordinate well. That's true. It doesn't change the fact that from a jurisdictional point of view, there should be that check and balance. The state trumps the county in many ways, but if the state representative works under the authority of the sheriff, then we've got a check and balance. Mike Noel, your response.
Oh, I think that's great, and I think that's happening to some extent right now, and that's what the bill kind of identifies, is the fact that right now, let's just take Fish and Game, that portion of it, but there's also others. There's the Utah State Brand Inspector that works across counties and all counties to make sure that people don't steal livestock and pilfer livestock. So that's kind of what the bill did, is take people in their place to actually deal with their own code. Now, you've identified an issue here that, to me, is problematic, because many of the state agencies, they have law enforcement authority, the Department of Agriculture and Food, the Division of Wildlife Resources, the State Parks and Recreation, the Health Department. They can enforce indoor clean acts, sting operation for tobacco regulations, daycare centers. The Labor Commission has them, the Alcohol Beverage Control Commission.
Yeah, but what you get, Mike, is you get judge, jury, executioner all in one branch or all in one section of government under these agencies that go crazy.
Something I created, Sam, and if we want to go after all those different agencies and say in each one of those agencies where they have that the sheriff would be the one overseeing those things, that's a whole different bill. That's not my bill. I'm trying to use what's in place right now, and if you have, let's say, a brand inspector, why can't the brand inspector, who is a certified peace officer, be the one that also deals with the regulatory portions of the grazing permits? He could do that. I think he could, and he's right there in the...
Well, here's the problem. So let's say that you got an out-of-control inspector or whatever you want to say. He's got law enforcement authority, so does the sheriff, so does the given deputy, and someone believes somebody's out of control. Who's in charge, sir?
The sheriff is in charge in all cases, and it doesn't take that supreme authority away from him. That's my belief, and that's my feeling, and I think that I asked that specific question to the drafter, the attorney that drafted this bill. I've asked it to get an opinion from Legislative Research and General Counsel, and she tells me that the sheriff is in charge in all cases, and he does, and that particular...
So what if the sheriff arrests that guy for being out of line? What happens?
He can do that. Well, he can arrest him because I think the sheriff is, I believe the sheriff is the supreme control or supreme authority. Now, what happens with a highway patrolman that's out of line? How does that work? Does the sheriff have authority to arrest a highway patrolman?
I can respond. Do you want to respond to that? I want to get Lowell in the conversation, too. I'm willing to respond to these things, too. But Lowell, do you want to chime in here?
Yeah, absolutely. The sheriff is the chief law enforcement officer in the county, and if a state policeman is out of line, then the sheriff may arrest him, because he has the authority. And so I'm delighted, Mike, that you and I share that same opinion. I think we all three agree the sheriff is the chief law enforcement officer in the county, which brings me to lines 334 through 344 of the bill. This is the part where it says, you know, 4A says, except for the following two paragraphs, the local county sheriff is the primary law enforcement authority. Totally agree.
So hold on. You're getting some fuzz in your line, Lowell, if you can fix that. What we're saying is that except for the following sections, is that right, Mike?
Yeah, yeah. It says, talks about DWR and the sections that deal with the resource issues out there on the ground. That would be your grazing issues, your timber issues, et cetera. Those would be an individual that would deal with that part of the code. Again, I don't believe that in any way, shape, or form takes away the sheriff's responsibility. The sheriff doesn't have the expertise to deal with that. He can be an oversight, and I think...
But he can have somebody on his staff that can deal with that. The state doesn't have the knowledge to deal with that either, but they appoint somebody in, or they create a board to deal with this. The question is whose jurisdiction they're under, and do we have conflicting jurisdictions? Isn't that right, Lowell?
Right, and that's line 337 is my big problem. It says the director may employ and utilize within the DLM certified peace officers that, if and when deployed, will be the primary law enforcement authority with jurisdiction on public lands to enforce this chapter and rules issued pursuant to it.
Yeah, and, okay, so he's got jurisdiction just exactly like those issues that we put, the all of the different resources and issues that we're going to deal with has nothing to do with what a sheriff traditionally deals with, which is criminal behavior. Sheriff.
Okay, hold on. Now, though, what you're saying is you've got a piece of ground in a given county, the jurisdiction of the sheriff, and you've got another body that has authority there that supersedes the sheriff in specific situations, right?
He doesn't supersede the sheriff. He will primarily deal with that sections of the code that have to do with resource management. He won't be dealing with any other issues that traditionally go to the sheriff. So,
but do you see how you have two?
Let's put it this way, Sam. This right now, again, as I said, this is a framework. If we need to go in and establish that in more detail, we can do that. That's what the regulations is for. That's what the regulations will be promulgated for. So I'm told by both the general counsel from legislative research that doesn't do that, that the sheriff maintains his control over the county. As far as these...
Okay, what about in this bill, though, where it says except for the following paragraphs? Isn't that what it says, Lowell?
Yeah, except
for... That's just exact. Okay, so let's go. Let's just take this. Let's take the example that's happening right now. Who is the primary enforcer of Title 23 in the code? Who's the primary enforcer of that?
That would be the Wildlife Resources Code, yes.
Yeah, that would be Wildlife Resources Code. And that has worked for as long as I've been in office. There's a very good relationship with the wild. You do occasionally have a wildlife officer that gets out of hand, and who reins them in? The sheriff reins them in. Said, "Hey, you've got to do this. You've got to do that. I'm the one in charge in this county." And they go to his manager and say, "Hey, Greg Sheehan, this guy's causing problems for me. You need to rein him in."
Okay, but if that guy worked for the sheriff, it'd be a different ballgame.
Or if he works for the state.
But right,
that doesn't mean he doesn't have control.
And that's where the jurisdictional conflict happens.
Change that. That's fine. That's not in this bill. That's existing law. That's a whole different area. If you want to change the responsibilities of the sheriff over the Division of Wildlife Resources or over the brand inspector or over health services or over the highway patrol, that's a whole different law than this. That doesn't change. This law doesn't change what's existing right now. Doesn't change it at all.
And by the way, that's exactly why I say this stuff is very difficult to unwind. What Mike's saying is, hey, there's all kinds of other provisions he has no control over that have been the way they are for a long time. And yes, talking about that's worthwhile, but how do you deal with it in, say, a bill like Mike's, Lowell?
Well, so what I would do, Mike, is if I were writing this bill, I would take out that first clause on line 334. I wouldn't have an exception there. I would simply say, and repeat, basically, the local county sheriff is the primary law enforcement authority and so forth. And then on section B and C, I would say that these people work in and coordinate their work with the local county sheriff. And that way, there's no question about jurisdiction or the sovereignty. I mean, who's sovereign on that?
And what you're dealing with is semantics to some degree, but down the road, Mike, we're afraid it can backfire and be taken completely out of your intent, and that's kind of the issue.
Yeah, this is a very healthy discussion.
Okay, can you stay with me next hour, Mike?
Sure, you bet.
All right, I know, Lowell, do you got to fly?
Yeah, I got to go. Sorry.
All right, any last comments, Lowell?
No, just my many, many thanks again to both of you for the discussion and for your work and efforts to restore our land back to the state of Utah, Mike.
Thanks, Lowell. I appreciate your comments, and I'd like to work with you during the interim, and let's get this done, okay?
Wonderful. Will do.
We'll make that happen, gentlemen. Mike, stay there. It's going to be a little bit long break. There's news at the top of the hour, but don't hang up. We're going to come right on back. We're going to talk about this. We need to be fair. We need to be open-minded. We need to realize that sometimes we, the constitutional purists, don't realize there's a lot of ramifications. How do you deal with it all? Mike Noel in seconds.